Welcome to Smart Mouth, the podcast where I tell people the history of their favorite food. And this week we're talking pizza with Mike Mitchell. He goes by Mitch, but I always call him Mike because, like, I don't know you through comedy, I guess. So I call you by the name your mother gave you, like a real person should.
I appreciate that.
Do you, though? I feel like it's really weird.
No, someone asked me this the other night. They were like, you don't like when people call you, like, Mitch. And I was like, yeah, you're kind of right. I guess it does sometimes bother me. But I also, I've had plenty of strangers call me Mitch, and I don't care.
Anyway, Mike, or Mitch, or Mr. Mitchell, he's the co-host of the podcast Doughboys. He's on Love on Netflix. And he plays Chaz Duffy on Hidden America.
I do.
So
the Guy Fieri of the Hidden America world.
Yeah. And your character on Love is like a big food nerd. Not like a snobby foodie, but I like the way they do your character's foodiness.
I don't want to call myself a foodie because no one likes that term.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's like pretentious and like...
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird term. But yeah. I do like food and I like good food. I think Randy likes like... He's a big fast food guy. Which I also am. I like fast food a lot. And that's what we talk about on Doughboys.
Well, his main intro on the show was when he was telling his love interest about like how you get the burger from one place and then this from another place.
Yeah.
And you do
oh, yeah.
Tour.
Randy's triple dandy.
So good. So you've kind of made a name for yourself as like a food guy.
I've made a name. Yes. Undeservedly, I've made a name for myself as a food guy. Like a... I do love it, and I like I have like a pretty much a family member who has a restaurant.
Okay.
My godfather's son, which is like he's like our family,
sure.
And he owns a restaurant. But I don't know, I'm not a good cook, and I've never taken classes or anything like that. I don't know too much, but I love food. Obviously, I'm a big food fan.
Well, I like to think that it's okay to be call yourself a food expert, even if you're not the world's greatest cook. I have my own personal reasons for feeling that way.
I have no talent when it comes to cooking, but I love trying new places, which LA has so many of them. But it's expensive.
I know.
And, yeah,
it totally
and that's why
is.
I still love fast food. I genuinely love fast food.
Well, you told me that you wanted to talk about pizza on this podcast, and then I saw that there's some new Twitter account, Mitch.pizza.
There is a thing called Mitch.pizza.
What is
yeah.
that? I don't understand it.
We had this guest on Van Robichaud, and he set up this
oh,
dumb
boy.
Thing because I'm known to like not, which you have probably noticed. I'm known to not. Answer emails and texts. I'm pretty bad with that
yes,
stuff. Yes,
right.
I'm pretty bad with that. So I guess Van just knows that I love pizza and took like Mitch.pizza and then people send emails to like this account and then they send me the email. Like he hand delivers it to my door and puts it in like.
That is so involved. How long can
it's
he
so
keep
involved.
That up?
I haven't even addressed it yet because I think it's funny. Like I was like, oh, I'll probably annoy him if I just never talk about it.
Oh,
and like,
do you want us to cut this conversation?
No. It's fine. I think it's funny. And I was like, if I just never talk about this, it will just bother him more because he's like, he's hand delivering these things every day, and I'm like, oh, it's funny. Like he has to come to my house and like
do
work. Yeah,
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
Ugh,
yeah.
Okay. Well.
But there you go. There's a sign that I love pizza. I'm a huge pizza.
Totally into it.
Who isn't? If you don't like pizza, I don't know.
Can I tell you who doesn't like pizza?
Who?
Allie Ward.
Allie. Really?
Yeah.
You don't like pizza?
It might just be a reaction to pizza mania. That could be it. And I totally get that because I tend to develop an attitude problem when something gets too popular.
It's been pizza mania forever. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, as a kid, as far back as I can remember, like Goodfellas, as far back as I can remember, I always loved pizza. Like, I always loved a slice of pizza. Like, I since I was a little boy. So, like, 30 years going now.
You've loved pizza.
It's been pizza mania for me. So, yeah.
And do you, like, remember a first time you had pizza? Was there any awakening or was it just always part of your life?
I don't think I have, like, a first time where I remember, like, eating pizza. But I do have pizza memories from the past. Like, I remember ordering Domino's as a kid and, like, the delivery guy coming super late. And,
yeah.
like, we had, like, friends over and we, like, set up, like, a whole... thing when the guy came to the door, like we pretended to be like a messed up family or something. This is when I was like six or something.
That's really young to have scenarios going.
Yeah, but like my mom was like had fun with it and stuff, and like there was like a my sister's older than me, like
okay.
by a few years, so like she was like 10 or 11 or whatever.
So you guys would like scream at each other when the guy came to
yeah
the door.
We were like doing like a crazy family yeah and like there was like weird memories like because we used to get Friday night for my family was pizza night. We would get pizza every Friday night, and I would watch TGIF. I'd watch the whole TGIF lineup.
Nice.
It was great. My mom and sister and I, like, we carried, like, when I'm back in Boston, a lot of Friday nights we'll get pizza.
Aww. So where did you get pizza from? Was it always Domino's?
No, it wasn't Domino's. So there was, I feel like there was like a rotation a few places, but there was this place, Villa Rosa, that was like a local place in Quincy. And we did do pizza. And then later on, it became like pizza with like buffalo fingers and like a little side
as
salad.
These places, I feel like pizza places in the same time that we were growing up, like late 80s, early 90s, like expanded their menus into the whole like chicken.
It's
realm.
Really weird. Yes. Villa Rosa was like an Italian restaurant. It was like, it was carry out pizza.
Okay.
But no, you're right. Like once like appetizers kind of like started showing up on menus, it became very much about like, oh, pizza and wings or whatever. But
yeah.
There was also like a few places that had bar pizzas, which are like, you know, the smaller.
I love that you're bringing this up because I'm actually going to recommend a place to you later that's bar pizza. And I wasn't totally sure that I understood it, but it seemed to be that like it's in a pan, but there's no lip on the pan. So the cheese actually gets on the oven and crisps up.
Yes, that's there's so many to me. There are so many different types of pizza. You know,
yeah,
there are just anyways, but like bar pizza to me is like more about like the cheese and kind of like it's like almost like a, what is it, what's that, like the fried cheese appetizer. My Boston accent came up.
That was amazing.
That's gonna go away forever. What is it called? Is it a frittata or no?
That's egg.
Okay.
Fried cheese appetizer.
Yeah, it's like
not mozzarella sticks.
It's not mozzarella. No, it's just like a circle of fried cheese, and I can't remember what it's called. It's gonna bug me.
Well, now that you're okay, so you're figuring this out, but when you specifically mentioned meatball pizza, that's one that you like, and I was thinking about how lots of times Italian sausages have a lot of fennel in them, and I was thinking about what kind of drink would go well with meatball pizza, and I wanted to think beyond beer.
Yeah,
so I thought about Fernet. And Fernet is really interesting because, first of all, lots of people hate it so much.
I don't really know what it is.
It's a secret recipe, but there's at least 40 different herbs in it, apparently. Mm-hmm. Saffron, cardamom, aloe, chamomile, rhubarb, gentian root, which I feel like is also something that people use it for at-home abortions, but there's probably not enough in Fernet.
Okay, good pointer.
So, I heard that in San Francisco, Fernet and Coke is kind of like a popular drink.
Okay.
But it's actually Argentinian. So, Fernet is so popular in Argentina that they have the only non-Italy factory.
Wait, so Fernet is an Italian.
It's an Italian herbal liqueur.
Herbal liqueur, okay.
But Argentina drinks 75% of it. They can't get enough.
That's really funny.
And because Fernet and Coke in particular is so popular, apparently Argentinians drink 4 times the world's average of Coca-Cola every year.
Whoa.
Yeah. They're really, really into it.
Well, I also want to say that since there is Coca-Cola here.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola is like, it was also such a big part. Like,
right.
A can of Coca-Cola with the pizza, like it was, and that it was just such a big component to those pizza nights. I feel like
I think it's a classic combo, and I also had a roommate a while ago, Tiffany White. Shout out to her. She introduced me to 2 things: pizza with sausage, basil, pineapple, and tomato.
Oh,
I know. You're like, no, that's not a thing. It's so good. It's amazing.
I don't know how I feel about. I love pineapple, and I don't know how I feel about it on my pizza.
That's fair.
The weird thing about me is like I do like meatball and I like pepperoni but when it comes to pizza, I'm very much like a plain cheese pizza. Like I always want to try the plain cheese pizza from a restaurant to see how
to see
it
what
is.
The basics are.
Yeah, to
yeah,
see like
how
they make
it.
Like a classic cheese pizza because like, and to people are like that's boring, but to me like if it's done well, it's the best there is. Like that's all I
totally.
That's all I want. By the way, I found out what that thing is called.
Oh, what is it?
It's called a Frico.
Oh, okay. I think like I've that. Heard of it. Yeah, so it's like it's almost like if a pizza were only made of cheese.
Or only made of cheese. Yes. Yeah. And I don't know if it. I don't know if it is. It might be just. It's either. It isn't. It's Italian, I guess.
Okay.
It's an Italian thing, but that's what like bar pizzas remind me more of, like Fricos or something. It's just like,
real concentration on the cheese.
Yeah, real concentration on the cheese, and it's just like kind of like a crispy cheese on top, like almost overcooked.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So the other thing that Tiffany told me was root beer and pizza. And now I think that root beer and pizza is the better combination than Coke and pizza.
That's fair.
So we're going to try both Fernet and Coke and Fernet and root beer.
I love it.
Do you want to know something about root beer? The guy who invented it, Charles Hires, he was a teetotaler. And so he was trying to make non-beer drinks and he wanted to call it root tea. And people were like, you will never sell any of this if you call it root tea.
They were right. I would never buy root tea.
I know. It sounds awful.
It sounds like the more boring tea.
Totally. It completely does.
Root. You are right. Root beer is... He also did a good job because, like, in every cartoon where it's not supposed to be booze, they fill up a big mug of root beer. And it does feel like the party... It feels like the party soda. For whatever reason.
All this booze is just going to be a business expense. We'll see if my accountant goes for it.
I'm very much wondering which is going to be better, the root beer or the...
I'm nervous. Root Coke. And it's actually reminding me of the fact that in college, I went through about a period of about a year and a half where Jaeger and Coke was my drink.
Oh, my God.
I'm real hardcore.
That... We were just always hungover. I feel like.
No, I was like, 20. It was great.
See, I already had hangovers at that point in my life. Unfortunately,
oh.
I look back and I'm like, my best drinking year. I was like 17. And like by the time I got to college, I was like, oh, I have a hangover.
You're already rough at that point. Well, people used to make fun of me for drinking Jaeger and Coke, but it's actually really similar to Fernet and Coke. So I think I was just ahead of my time because it's all like. Herby stuff.
It's just like the thick. It's like it's such a syrupy booze.
Yes.
It moves when you pour it out. It like slowly spills out of the bottle.
You're totally right. Okay, this one is Coke.
This one is Coke.
No, I think this one is Coke of yours.
This is Coke.
I think.
Okay.
All right. Cheers.
I can't tell if it's Coke or not. Cheers. Cheers.
Yeah, I know the Fernet is strong.
Not bad.
It's really minty. It's like a minty Coke.
It's very minty.
Which is weird because Fernet has a Fernet Menta. They have a mint version, but why would they need that? This is minty as hell.
Yeah, there's a mintier version of that.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the aftertaste seems like you get the Fernet taste more, like where I thought it was going to be masked more.
No, it accentuates.
Yeah, that's really strange.
That's disgusting and. So
they both remind me of a drink that like I would be like sitting on my grandpa's lap and he'd be like, take a sip. Yep. And I would take a sip and be like, what the fuck? What is wrong with adults?
Totally. It's way too much. So I've talked to multiple Europeans who tell me that they can't deal with root beer because like I guess sassafras in Europe must be a scent that is used in cleaning products. A French guy straight up was like, this tastes like I'm licking a porta potty. The first time he had root beer.
Really?
Yeah. He said that is like the sense memory for Europeans. And root beer is really hard to find outside of the U.S., so I think it's just a cleaning product anywhere else.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I love root beer. I just don't...
There's no point in drinking soda. My grandma's house, she always has Fresca and Diet root beer, and that's such a thing where you like open the fridge and are instantly disappointed by like the options they're in. Who wants Fresca and Diet root beer?
Yeah, there must just be an age where you turn that age and then you're like, yeah. I'm going to buy Fresca and Diet Cola. Not even Diet Coke, just like whatever Diet Cola is available.
Let me tell you, Diet root beer is a real bummer. It does not taste good.
Diet root beer, yeah. I love Coca-Cola Classic. And I actually don't mind this drink.
Wait, the root beer or the Coke version?
The Coke version, I'm sorry.
Right, yeah.
I don't mind it. It's okay. That is a strange liquor.
It for sure is, but I can see it with pizza. Like, it makes sense to me, especially if it's not... If it's hot out and you want like the cooling element to go with hot pizza, I can see it being like a good counterbalance.
100%, yeah. And that's why there is bar pizza, right? It is like the thing that like people want to soak up alcohol with.
Yeah, I read that bar pizza was exactly what it was. Like it was meant to like make you feel like you were getting like some fat to soak up the alcohol, but it's so thin that it wouldn't actually fill you up. So you would just like keep drinking and not feel bloated from it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I guess
it's all a scam to get you like more drunk and spend more money.
All bar food is like nuts at the bar. All that salty stuff, that's just to get you thirsty. Yeah, totally. It's a upper Midwestern trick, bar pizza is.
I feel like I've been like betrayed.
Well, I wanted to
By all
you...
these bars have betrayed me.
Well, were they betraying you or were you just not thinking it through?
I just wasn't thinking it through.
So let's talk about like where pizza started from. And I feel like, you know, everyone knows it's Italian.
Italy.
More or
that's
less.
All yes.
Yes. But
is it, it? I mean, is it like a? Is it a burrito thing where it's like a? Its origins are based in Italy, but then like American made pizza. What I kind of feel like America made pizza. What it is?
I like what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're not exactly wrong.
Okay.
So, first of all, I feel like when you talk about pizza, like not every country, lots of countries have flatbreads, right? Mm. And they tend to like put stuff on flatbread. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it's cooking that can come from ancient times before closed ovens. You just like throw it over a fire, that sort of thing. It's not weird. It's not, I don't think that the idea of a starch with stuff on top of it is particular to Italy.
Yes, I agree with that.
But I was thinking that a lot of times tomatoes, like tomato sauce, might be what makes it pizza, which isn't always true because there is white pizza.
Yeah.
But I think tomatoes are a big part of it. So I think that the point at which pizza sort of diverted from other flatbreads was when tomatoes were introduced to Europe, which was in like the 1500s. From South America. And the first time tomatoes were written about in Italy were in 1548 in Tuscany.
Okay.
And then processed tomatoes, tomato sauce, tomato paste, that comes from like the 18th century in Italy.
So pre-1548, it was like a tomato-less Italy pretty much?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really crazy.
I know. It's funny because I feel like Italian food is one of the world's great cuisines and tomatoes are a huge part of it, but they're actually a pretty recent addition.
Yeah. They're a huge part of it in my mind. I don't consider white pizza to be real pizza.
Right.
I don't. I it's not pizza to me. It's fake. If I'm out at a bar or whatever, I don't want white pizza. I don't ever want white pizza.
Right. I know. Why would you get that?
I don't dislike it, but I just don't want it.
It wouldn't occur to you to like get it.
Yeah.
So, but Naples in particular was especially into tomatoes, and San Marzano's, which is like, you always want San Marzano tomato sauce.
Yeah.
Those, they actually grow them on the sides of Mount Vesuvius. Like, it's all so fucking charming. I can't even deal with
that. It's almost too charming.
I know, completely.
I would roll my eyes at that, but then also, like, I have had that tomato. Like, it is the best tomato sauce. It's really good.
Yeah, for sure.
So
you're like, okay, they can have that. We'll allow that.
They can have it, but come on. Just grow it anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, they probably actually do, but that's the story they tell about them anyway. And in Italian, tomato is pomodoro, which means golden apple, which again, like we get back to marketing, like, because tomatoes are part of the nightshade family and Europeans that all thought all nightshades would kill you. So by changing the word to golden apple, it was like, oh, what is this magical thing?
They thought all nightshades would kill you?
Yeah, because some will. So they were scared about the rest of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What nightshades will kill you?
The flowery ones, the ones that are plants with the roots underground. You don't want to eat those. But eggplant, potatoes, and tomatoes are all nightshades too.
Nightshade just seems to me like such like a fantasy concept.
It's a like, very dramatic
of, like,
name.
I feel like I'm like Game of Thrones or like I don't think, like I'm like, oh, I guess that exists in our world.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. No, it's extremely dramatic. Speaking of diets, there are some diets that are just like, don't eat nightshades. That's the whole point of the diet.
Really?
Yep.
Do I eat nightshades?
Do you eat potatoes?
I try not to eat them,
right.
But I do eat them.
You eat tomatoes?
I eat tomatoes a lot.
I guess eggplant usually isn't like big in anyone's diet, but
yeah,
it's part of it. So the thing that like made pizza into a big deal is this story that like I kind of believe it's a little bit too perfect. I believe that the event happened. So in 1889, the king and queen of the newly unified Italy, they visited Naples.
Okay.
And the queen's name was Margarita.
Oh.
And while she was visiting there, a cook apparently made a pizza that was supposed to look like the Italian flag. So tomatoes for the red, mozzarella for the white, and basil for the queen, for the green.
And they named the queen.
And she, yeah, and she like liked it, and so they named it the Pizza Margarita, which is like the basic pizza.
Yes.
That's, and then the reason why this is such a big deal is because Italy has had just been united, and her husband was the king of a newly unified Italy.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people, I mean, and I only know this because I did study abroad in Rome, and I had this one crazy old professor who like only ever talked about Risorgimento, which is the unification, and it means like rebirth of Italy. And because, like, God, so much marketing. Those Italians, they're marketing geniuses.
They're good, yeah. Yeah. They're really good.
Because they had to smash a lot of people to unify Italy. The different areas, the different like mini kingdoms that made up the boot, you know, the peninsula of Italy, mm-hmm. they barely spoke the same language. They had nothing in common. So the fact that pizza was a big dish in Naples, that was a Naples thing. That wasn't an Italian thing. So for the queen to go there and eat a Naples dish was like, oh my God, our queen like knows our city and recognizes our city.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's such a big deal.
That's cool. Really. I like that.
Yeah.
I put them on the map.
Yeah, totally. And Naples was then and still is mostly known as being like a city full of poor people.
Yeah.
And pizza and spaghetti were street foods there. And they actually ate them with their hands. So a lot of people
still
like
do that.
Yeah. A lot of people disdain them apparently for being like peasants. So for the queen to like come and eat their food, they were like, "See?" And that's when pizza, you know, really took off in Naples in that area, but I guess it wasn't until after World War II that pizza became this worldwide phenomenon.
Yes. I've heard that before.
What have you heard?
I just have heard that like after World War II that pizza kind of got popular in the States, and I don't know if that was because troops went over and tried it.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that like all these people came back and they were like, there's this thing called pizza.
Which is insane to me that like my grandfather who fought in World War II,
uh-huh.
like that he lived a life like a pizza-less life. That's so weird to me.
That is weird.
That's very strange.
That's like, so upsetting.
It's very upsetting, yeah.
So the thing is, though, is that, like, that pizza, the margarita pizza, has actually, like, there's recipes for it that go back to, like, 10 years before the queen had it. So the pizza probably existed. They didn't make it for her. They just rebranded
yes.
to support unification and the fact that they had a monarchy.
Which is good. Did that guy become, like, a celebrity chef?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Good for him.
As much as, you know, you could back then.
I wish I liked margarita pizza more. My issue is that I don't love basil.
What on earth is wrong with you?
Get the basil out of there. Give me that cheese pizza. You... What's on?
You're such a man of simple taste. No herbs. Well, you must have like thyme and oregano.
I like oregano.
Okay.
I like thyme, all right. Oregano I like though. But I'll have a little bit of basil. But it takes over. It takes over it too much.
This was apparently like the most common form of the pizza in the 1700s in Naples. Garlic, salt, and lard.
I like the garlic salt side of it. Lard is strange, but I mean, like, would that be bad? I feel like it maybe would be good, right?
It'd probably be really good.
It'd probably be really good.
Yeah.
At BS Taqueria, I had the lardo and clams.
Oh, yeah.
And that was great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a classic.
I mean, lard just sounds so bad. It just sounds terrible.
Right. But if we like remove all the like societal associations with it,
yeah.
it's actually good.
It's very good.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
But I feel like this margarita movement here is flatbreads after that just didn't cut it anymore for a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. Why would they?
Yeah.
We've got like sauces and cheeses and stuff.
Exactly.
On your flatbread. That's way better.
Flatbreads never, if I go to a restaurant and it's like we have flatbreads, I'm like, the boring. Like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's not fair. It's like, just make a pizza. If you're going to do flatbread, just make a pizza.
Or just call it pizza even.
Or call it pizza. Yeah. And put sauce on it and make it more round.
Yeah.
Stretch it out just a little bit more. If you stretch it out a little bit more, it would be better than flatbread.
Pizza did exist in the United States before World War II, but it tended to be in big cities with big working class populations.
I was going
to
say that because like New York has some pizzerias that are like 30s, right? Like the 30s.
Even
or
older.
Like that?
So okay. The first license to sell pizza was in New York in 1905.
Oh, man.
Gennaro Lombardi. And Lombardi still exists.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
And they figured that, like, he was the first one who, like, got a permit to sell it. Other people were probably selling
just
it.
Just selling it on the street or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like from carts, like they did in Italy. And I guess it still uses the same oven. They moved locations, but they brought the oven.
That's
with
right.
Them.
Yes. That are they like by like the are they near like the beach now or like that?
There was
they're like...
so a guy, an employee of Lombardi's, opened a place on Coney Island.
Yes,
I
that's
think.
What I was thinking.
And it's
near
called,
Coney
like,
Island.
It starts with a T, but I'm blanking. It's like Tanaro's,
okay,
or something like that. Yeah. So there's like a family tree of pizza places.
Got it. Okay.
Like pre World War II. But yeah, when soldiers came back, one in particular, like. Built and marketed a pizza oven for people to use.
That's huge.
Yeah, it was a big deal. But he didn't get a patent on it, so he's not as rich as you would think, which
that's
is
a bummer.
Yeah.
But also then it wasn't really even his, right? But then I'm sure someone else...
I think it's undisputed that he was the first person to did it, but since he didn't patent it, like other people were like, me too. Like they don't say that they were the first in America, but they just also started oven companies.
That's the there was a... Like my best, two of my best friends growing up, their grandparents lived next door to them, and they had a pizza oven in their backyard, like an outdoor.
Like Gwyneth Paltrow?
Like Gwyneth, they had one. I don't know how often they used it, but I always thought that was like the coolest thing on earth.
It's probably the type of thing that you pay $1 million for and use twice.
Yes, I think it was.
And you have to like make a big fucking effort to use it every time it's a thing.
But as like a big Italian family, I love that they had it. I love that they had it out there. It just made me happy.
Totally. It's really cool. But it's weird that this food item, well, it is and it isn't, because, you know, when Italians first started coming to the United States, they were considered like extremely ethnic and different. And garlic was weird.
Yes.
Too much to deal with.
And the same thing for, I mean, even Irish people, the plainest, weirdest people.
Just like anytime someone new comes to this country, everyone freaks out.
It's happening now. We're bad like that. We do a
do
bad
not
job.
Not learn from our lessons.
No, we don't. No, we never do.
It's so stupid. But really, like garlic was considered wild, like spicy.
That's spicy.
Yeah. So pizza, when it became popular because of home delivery. Really. And all the places are for, okay, Pizza Hut is from Wichita. Little Caesars and Domino's are both from Michigan. Papa John's is from Indiana. Like, they're from small, middle of the country.
You forget Domino's is from Michigan. I forget that.
Really? Because
I know Little Caesars is.
Yeah, but. And that guy who owns it is like a horrible person who gives money to women-hating groups and stuff like that.
That's another thing that I found out. So many of these places... Like every single place is like has some terrible human being in charge of it. It's heartbreaking.
The Domino's guy and the Papa John's guy, right? They're both.
I think the Domino's guy is. I think Papa John himself is like one of the biggest assholes. We talk about this on.
It's a football Dope Boys thing, a right?
Bit. It's not even a football thing. Like he was like when he was like Obamacare. I'm gonna pay my employees less, and we were like, fuck this guy. He's just kind of an asshole. He seems like an asshole.
Oh, I was thinking football because Eli Manning like had him on the field or something.
Peyton Manning had him on the field after he won. And I think he went and he and Papa John kissed before he and his wife kissed.
Right.
I remember.
Yeah. It's got a real situation going on over there.
Peyton, you don't have to have him on the field. Whatever. I mean... I've made fun of Peyton Manning enough. I won't even crap on Peyton Manning. But
okay.
Papa John he seems like kind of a shitty guy.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
There was, and for us, it was Papa Gino's in Boston. And that's kind of a local chain. And then Domino's, I feel like, was the other one. And then we would go pick up pizza from some places. But then there was like kind of like local pizza places, which LA doesn't have as much, where I feel like the East Coast has so many of these kind of like just... like mom and pop or just kind of like one store location pizza places.
Lots of times I feel like people in LA don't commit to owning a pizza place. For instance, there's literally a pizza place on the end of my block.
Yes.
And well, not on the end of my block.
Are you talking about Wood?
No, Purgatory Pizza.
Oh, okay.
It's probably like 5 blocks away and over a really big hill. So I just realized I have to justify the following story. I had a party recently and people were here really late. And at one point, some guy was like, I'm going to order pizza. Purgatory's closest. I'll order it from them. And he wanted to get it delivered because everyone was like totally shit-faced. And it was like over this big hill. Mm-hmm. So he called and he ordered. And then he's like, and the address is. And they were like, oh, we don't deliver. It was a Saturday night at like midnight.
You gotta deliver the pizza. You gotta, if you want to stay in the game. Unless like, I guess there's a few places that like are like, oh, we're like a local. But I mean, like, if you want to do good, like
the only reason we still got the pizza is because it was walking distance. How many people are looking to walk over hills carrying boxes of pizza at midnight on a Saturday?
No. Yeah, that's crazy. I feel like if it's a sit down restaurant, say Villa Rosa, they did not deliver. But if it's a sit down restaurant, okay. That's fine. But if it is just kind of like, oh, we're like a pizza place, you got to deliver your pizza.
Did you have those things where you would go to like a storefront and it was almost like Subway, like you could pick your toppings, but everything was frozen? It's like called, was it called take and bake? That sounds like a marijuana thing.
I'm sure that is a marijuana thing somewhere.
But you would like take it home and bake it at home.
I know of places like this, but I never experienced that. Growing up, like I said, there were like so many like submarine sandwich shops that like also made pizza. There was a lot of Greek pizza in Quincy too. There's like quite a few Greek pizza restaurants.
Well, so there is that Greek pizza connection because Naples was actually originally a Greek settlement.
Oh, okay. I think of it as such an Italian. I love Greek pizza, but it is so different to me.
Is it? What does that mean? Just Greek toppings or?
No, it just to me, it's like two different styles. Like a Greek pizza to me is like kind of like a little bit greasier. And it is, again, is maybe a little bit more cheese focused. And then the crust is like kind of crispier and like almost reminds me of like a pretzel-y crust, if that makes
Interesting.
Sense.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
My favorite place in Boston is this place called Pizzeria Regina, which is kind of like that and Santarpio's are like the two old school Boston pizza places.
Okay.
And Regina, I think, is the best pizza in the country. I like a fresh out of the oven Regina pizza at the original Regina. I've never had a pizza better than that in my life.
Tell me why.
It's just so well done. Like the tomato sauce is perfect. Mm-hmm. The cheese is perfect. And the like, it just every single element. And I'm talking just like strictly cheese pizza because, like I told you, I'm a cheese pizza guy. But every element is just so perfectly done, and it's cooked in this super old oven that they've had for.
Is it gas or wood?
I think that it's wood. I believe.
Okay.
It's like an old brick oven.
Do you know if they make their own sauce?
I don't know if they make their own sauce.
Okay.
I've never looked into it, but it's just such a perfect, I guess it would be like Sicilian pizza, right? Is that like a...
Is that the thicker crust? Is that what you mean? It has a thicker crust?
It's just like reminds me of like kind of like a, like whatever New York pizza is, which I think is Sicilian, right?
Mm-mm.
It's not? What is New York? What is like a New York slice?
It's way floppier.
Like the difference between like Greek pizza and bar pizza and New York style pizza and deep dish with deep dish, it can be huge, but then also like... Even just small differences. I think my favorite is kind of like a New York style floppy crust,
like
which I thought was Sicilian, but I think it's wrong. Whatever Regina Pizzeria Regina in Boston is.
Okay.
That's my favorite style.
So the other thing too is toppings, because you said that just cheese is your favorite, but it's funny like when some people like will talk about weird toppings. But I learned that, like, in Brazil, hard-boiled eggs are a really popular pizza topping, like sliced hard-boiled eggs.
Interesting.
In Venezuela, they use Gouda.
Okay. I'm more on board maybe with that.
With Gouda. The Gouda?
Yeah.
I feel like it's, like, Gouda's a really strong cheese, and that would be a lot to have, like, melted.
Yeah.
I don't know. In Japan, they put corn on everything, including pizza. Corn niblets.
I know, corn on pizza. That's so weird.
But I think Korea gets the craziest because they just put everything on. There's this place called Mr. Pizza, and they put a lot of potatoes and sweet potatoes on their pizzas.
This is in Korea?
And there's some in LA, too.
Oh, weird.
They put...
Are they a Korean chain, though?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Chips, sour cream, corn, of course. There's like a lot of seafood pizzas?
Yes. I don't love seafood pizza.
I've never had it because I'm like, no, I'll have seafood a different time.
Yeah.
It's for a different meal.
Asia loves seafood, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. East Asia. Yeah.
East Asia. Yeah.
Well, the thing that the U.S. loves is chicken. We put chicken on everything.
We put chicken on a lot of things, but I think chicken... By the way, I said East Asia. Yeah, like I knew that. I didn't know that at all. to me, like any sort of seafood in, on pizza is kind of a turn. It doesn't feel like it matches well to me. But mm-hmm. We do... Chicken is big for us, and I don't love... Like, I'll eat a buffalo chicken pizza. That felt like... That feels like such a 90s thing. Like a buffalo chicken pizza feels like an invention right. of the 90s. Maybe it was around in the 80s, but that like...
Well, it was in the 80s that Wolfgang Puck started putting crazy ingredients in an upscale restaurant on pizzas. And his barbecue chicken pizza was definitely for a lot of white people being like, oh, you can put chicken on pizza. Yes, yes, awesome. Like in every formulation, let's put chicken all over it with just different sauces.
Did Wolfgang Puck have anything to do with California Pizza Kitchen? No?
Sort of.
Okay.
He hired a guy to make crazy pizzas, and that guy, Ed Ledoux, got hired to open California Pizza Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he's like part of that family tree.
That's where like some of the crazy topping they came from, Wolfgang? With
Yeah, specifically barbecue chicken and smoked salmon pizza.
I don't know about the smoked salmon pizza, but that's okay. They just feel like a different thing. It just feels like it's some sort of appetizer or different. Like, it doesn't feel like pizza to me.
Well, yeah, the smoked salmon one in particular is, like, very delicate because there's no tomato sauce and no, there's sour cream, I think, but no, like, cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's light. It's for sure lighter.
When I think back to, like, these Friday nights of watching Urkel and watching the show Step by Step
with yeah.
Suzanne's, what is her name?
Summers.
Suzanne Summers. And can I name one more show in the Full
Absolutely.
House lineup? Dinosaurs or Full House at one point or Perfect Strangers. If I was watching all these shows, in my mind, I either think of like a Greek pizza or I think of like a Neapolitan pizza. And it's harder to get a good version of a sloppy slice of cheese out here. And also, that's a gross name to call it, a sloppy slice of cheese. I should stop saying that. But
no, I think you should open a pizza place and name it that.
Sloppy slice of cheese?
Yeah,
maybe I will.
Just sloppy slices.
Sloppy slices. It will fail immediately. I don't know how to
make
anything.
No, you could have the coolest little mascot for it.
Just like a guy covered in filth.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, like a heartwarming hobo.
Back east, there's like a billion of those places.
Yeah, it's more part of the culture on the East Coast, mm-hmm. for sure. And they'll always vilify us anytime we try and say LA has good pizza. It has
but
some,
we do.
But it's not
we
as
We do
common.
Have good pizza, yeah. It's just, it's different, yeah.
Did I answer all of your questions about your favorite
I know
food?
so much more.
Good.
So much more than I do in a subject I shouldn't learn. I should branch out and learn more about other things. I shouldn't learn more about pizza, but I'm happy that I did.
There you go.
And now I need to eat pizza tonight,
I
which
know.
Is the worst part of all.
Talking about food, you know, because you do a food podcast too. You talk about it and you're like, well, that sounds good.
Yeah, you need to, I have a pizza craving now.
Yeah, yep. For sure. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
I'm at, my Twitter handle is at BDayBoysMitch. It's kind of bad Twitter. I should switch it up.
Well,
it was back in the day. Right. I was in a sketch group called the Birthday Boys, so that was a part of it. But right. Yeah, I'm on there. And then we have the Doughboys podcast on Feral Audio.
Awesome. And this has been Smart Mouth. And you can find me on Twitter at Catherine Spires. And I forgot my own name for a second. And on Instagram at Smart Mouth Podcast. Thanks for listening.